Welcome to VChat. I'm your guest, Rich Brambley. Here goes nothing.
Hello and welcome. This is the fourth edition of VChat, and today we have a special guest, Mr. Rich Brambley of VMETC. My name is David Davis from Train Signal.
Hi, and my name is Simon Stigre from techhead.co.uk.
And Eric?
I'm Eric Siebert from vSphereOnline.com.
And I'm Rich Brambley. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being here, Rich. So, Rich, like I said, is our special guest. Rich's website is vmetc.com, and most everybody has seen his weekly podcast called Virtue Mania. And Rich recently went to work for Veeam, and we're going to talk more about that. So, Rich, you want to start off and let's talk a little bit about Virtue Mania. How's that going? How's
sure.
it going? And what's it like doing it?
Oh, it's a blast. It's a lot of work, a lot more work than I even anticipated. But it's been a blast, and great guests and great conversation. And you know, it always feels at the end, it always feels like the conversation I have with you guys when we're all together at an event or a conference. And I think that's what's special about it. And I think that's why it resonates with a lot of people. But Mark Farley and Rick Vanover and Greg Nierman was key in getting us started, and so we're having a lot of fun doing it. We really enjoy it.
So about how many shows have you done by now?
The next show next week will be episode 23.
Wow, that's cool. So I understand last night you participated in a special show on InfoSmack with VMware CEO Paul Moritz. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. That was, Greg and Mark were, I was lucky enough to get invited by those guys to participate in that. But Scott Sauer at VMware apparently reached out and sent an email to Paul, and Paul said yes, and it all came together. And we had a brief time with him yesterday on the call. I think it'll be out this coming Sunday. So depending on when this podcast comes out, it may already be out or not, or this video cast. But that was quite an opportunity and quite a privilege to be part of that call. It was great talking to Paul. I wish we had more time with him, and hopefully we'll get him back on again one of these days.
Did you get any juicy details out of him?
No, we didn't. I wouldn't say we got any juicy details, but there's definitely some good conversation, and
good.
Made him laugh and a couple times.
Cool.
And so you guys look forward to that. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but look forward to that a little bit later this weekend.
So I bet talking to Paul is a little bit intimidating. Was it how did you find the experience? Was it, did you get comfortable after a while talking to him, like he was one of the guys, or was it kind of one of those things where you're seeing a big figure like that where you're kind of intimidated and maybe afraid to ask some of the tough questions?
I was definitely nervous before the call. Once we got on the call, it was just like talking. I mean, after about 5 or 10 minutes, it was just like talking. I tried to be my normal self and kind of stretch an analogy there with him. I'm pretty sure I made him laugh. I can't wait to hear how that came out.
Yeah,
but
cool.
But I really got the impression that that Paul's one of the guys, and I think his position doesn't allow him to do that. But I genuinely think he enjoyed it. I think he would have liked to have stayed on longer. But we'll see. Hopefully he'll come back. We'll see.
Oh, great. That sounds good. Good. That has to be a fantastic experience. I don't think they've ever really done that before. Has he been gone on a type of podcast like that?
No, he said it was his first. He said it was his first podcast ever. So, and he ended, towards the end, he said it was, when we were talking about doing it again, he said it seemed to be an efficient way to do things. So, we'll see.
Oh, good.
We'll see.
Yeah, at VMworld last year, they had a press event. You had to have the press pass to get into it, but they had kind of like an open Q&A with Paul. And I think, Simon, I think you went to that also. And so basically you could ask him any questions you want. There's a lot of people in the press. He actually got a lot of stupid questions, I saw, that just, a lot of these people were just kind of reporters and that, not really like bloggers and stuff like that. So, but that was kind of a more formal setting, for asking questions and getting answers from them, though. But I'm sure they'll probably do it at VMworld again this year.
Yeah, I think it was either last year or the year before I got to participate in one of those. But it was still one of the big session rooms, and it was probably 100 or more people in there. And if you if you got a good spot up front, I'm sure you could talk to him. But I remember just kind of sitting, taking notes in the back, like it was a session kind of a thing. But yeah, it was definitely a once in a lifetime experience. Hopefully it'll be more than once in a lifetime experience. But it was a great experience, and definitely very appreciative of it. It was a lot of fun, and I feel very lucky to be part of it.
Good. Now you need to get him on Twitter. He's not on Twitter. You know, Stephen Herrod is, and a lot of the other VMware bigwigs are, but Paul isn't.
I saw a lot of really good questions flying around last night for you guys to ask Paul. I can't wait to the episode comes out this weekend. Find out what ones made it through to the final cut.
Yeah, there were a lot of questions, good questions, and then there were a lot of humorous questions that I don't think anybody had enough gall to ask Paul. But yeah, we did our best. We'll just have to wait and see which ones made it in. But to Eric's point about Twitter, we did bring that up with him. We asked him about social media, so that's something to look forward to in the podcast as well.
Oh, cool. Good. Look forward to hearing that.
Yeah. When's the podcast come out, Rich?
Greg is targeting for Sunday night. I think that's when hopefully you can edit that out, but I think that's when InfoSmack normally is released, is Sunday night, so look for it either Sunday night or Monday morning.
Good.
Definitely be looking out for that. Definitely. I mean, out of all the podcasts I listen to, I mean, a couple, InfoSmack and Virtuomania, fantastic. You know, you guys do a great job with that, and, you know, always have a real laugh, but at the same time, I learn a lot at the same time. I always like to hear the discussions and, you know, the thoughts of you guys of what's going on in the news and the different products. So, yeah, you're doing a very good job around that, and definitely keep it up.
Appreciate that. Like I said, it's... all they are just the conversations that we all have when we're together, right? It's shows and conferences and events, and it just, I'm glad that it seems to strike a chord with everybody, and so it's, you know, we're not doing anything different than what we normally do, and I'm glad it comes across like it does. So thank you very much.
So Virtuomania has gotten so big that you guys even now have T-shirts and mouse pads and everything like that. Is that right?
Yes, there is a site. I need to write some posts. I've gotten away from posting on VMETC other than the posts around the podcast. But yeah, I was playing around last week with an online with Cafe Press and created some logo T-shirts as well as a Here Goes Nothing logo. So look for a post on VMETC. .com about that, but we've got that, and I've got I don't think you guys have seen yet we've got the logo for the VM Underground warm-up party for VMworld. So Sunday night at Thirsty Bear, I believe it's 7 to 10. You know, Theron Connery and Sean Clark, Brian Knudsen, I believe Tom Howarth is involved this year. I'm probably forgetting somebody else, but everybody on the VMUnderground.com, we're doing the warm-up party, and the theme this year is warm-up party as a service, so WUPAS, WUPAAS, and the shirt is open up a can of WUPAS, so it's cool. You look for that too.
Fantastic.
Great model. Hey,
and so what do we have to do to get an invite along to that, Rich? Is it a matter of just jumping on the VM Underground website and signing up, or is it a matter of just turning up on the day early enough?
VMworld starts on Monday this year, so make your travel plans. Get to San Francisco Sunday afternoon in plenty of time. I don't think there's going to be a registration. It's an open party, but Thirsty Bear there's only so much space. So try to get there and get in. I'm sure all you guys will know who and how to get in. But as anybody really, just get there and knock on the door and come on in.
I thought I saw a tweet that said they're going to have bracelets and that there's going to be invites and registration that was supposed to open up today.
Oh, well, that may be something that that Theron and Sean have been doing that I'm not in the loop on, so maybe.
Oh, okay. Okay, I have to check out the website, see what's the update on that.
Yeah.
And Train Signal is a sponsor of that party, so I might have some pull if you guys need some invites.
So it's a matter of knowing the right people.
Yeah. So tell us about Veeam. What's going on with Veeam? How do you like it?
Yeah.
How are you working there?
Oh, I'm loving it. Definitely keeping me busy. I am now the senior systems engineer for the Southeast, so I'm covering, if you're interested in Veeam between Mississippi and Maryland and in the Caribbean, you know, reach out to me. But I'm working with a couple of reps here in the territory, and you know, Veeam is doing great. We are, you know, we've got some big announcements we're making at VMworld. So keep one eye on at Veeam on Twitter, or as well as Veeam Me Up or Veeam.com. New versions of already great products like Backup and Monitor and Reporter and our management pack, and it's great. I'm loving it.
So, Rich, you were with a solution provider before that, right?
Yes, out of Atlanta. Uh-huh.
How did you find the jump from going to, you know, kind of that to, you know, to one of the vendors?
Definitely a jump. Not too much of a stretch, though. It's this is definitely a more of a pre-sales role. I do proof of concepts for some customers, but at the integrator or the VAR, I was a little bit more of an architect and an initial virtualization implementation engineer. Whereas now, you know, I'm focused on, I guess, a different part of VI, right? The managing, monitoring, backing up. So it's just kind of, I guess you could say, shifting from one corner of the virtualization ecosphere to the other, right?
Okay, yeah. You get to stay technical and all that stuff, play with all the latest stuff and everything else.
Oh, yeah. I spent, working from home today. Yeah, and in between calls, I've been, you know, making sure that I've got the latest vSphere 4.1, got to get it installed in the home lab and on the notebook, and because, you know, our products are for VMware environment, so I've got to stay on top of all that, so absolutely.
So I thought I heard some talk earlier that VM was going to go into some of the other, like, Hyper-V and stuff like that. So are you going to get involved in some of the Hyper-V stuff too, or are you going to stick with VMware?
So today we are all VMware. We, even our product that integrates with Microsoft SCOM, Operations Manager, so it's a management pack that allows teams that are invested in Operations Manager to have visibility via the vSphere API, but that is for VMware. We are now a gold partner. We were fast-tracked by Microsoft as a gold partner because of the SCOM management pack, and there is some roadmap discussions about releasing like a backup product or some of our mostly around backup for maybe Hyper-V maybe in a year or so.
Oh, okay.
But
cool.
But Microsoft has definitely got the management and the monitoring and the performance monitoring tools already covered for their products. So
yeah,
we definitely don't want to step on any toes there.
Okay.
So Rich, I just wondering, with the product range, any intentions to sort of branch out further past Microsoft Hyper-V to Xen, for example?
No, there's no plans for Xen today.
Right, okay. And I've got another question for you. I mean, making that transition from a solutions provider across to a vendor, I mean, I can relate to it, obviously. I've made the jump myself recently, around about the same time as yourself. Have you found it with the blogging? Because one thing I noticed and I was quite worried about with all these guys, especially with the EMC, everyone joining Chad's army, out there, was that these guys disappear off the face of the earth for a while. I was a little bit worried that it might be, for example, EMC stifling blogging, which now I'm on board. I know it's definitely not the case. You know, it's actually the reverse. They actually encourage you to. But it's more a case you're just so busy now, you don't have time to blog as much as you perhaps want to or perhaps did in the past, just because of the hectic lifestyle around the new position. That's something that I've found. Is it something you've found as well with your new role?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's... there's a combination of things going on with me. There's a life change, right? Not necessarily a lifestyle change, but a life change. You know, new employer, new focus, and there's a learning curve involved with that. And then, you know, just the sheer, you know, volume of stuff to do and stuff to learn and getting up to speed and traveling and all that stuff. And that certainly has taken its toll. And then, you know, the podcast takes up, you know, 2 or 3 days of the week as well between, you know, in and around family and work. But the podcast has been, I kind of wonder if it hadn't been for the podcast, how many posts I would have been, how much posting on the blog I would be doing anyways. And then there's the battle that I'm having. When I'm inspired to write a post, it always ends up being that it's around Veeam products because, you know, we're all passionate about what we're doing on a daily basis, right? And so, I'm trying to make the transition in myself to let VMETC become VMETC, right? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And obviously it's a good thing. It's exciting. I think it's a good thing, but there's a little bit of history there with the blog. And so, you know, I'm going through this battle. Should I write stuff and have it posted on Beam Me Up, or should I write stuff and post it on VMETC, or should I even care? You know, so it's, I think it'll all work itself out. And then, you know, with VMworld and I did Tech Ed and the conferences and V mugs. I'm doing a lot of V mugs, and with all the travel and all the events, it's an adjustment, right? And I'm sure sooner or later it'll level out, and the schedule will level out a little bit for me, and then I'll have time to, you know, to write again on a regular basis. So
yeah, it's just something I've been very conscious of as well, because obviously, I mean, we're all guys. At the end of the day, we love what we do. We love tech. You know. Irrelevant of vendors, you know, half the time but the fact is, at the end of the day, that, you know, we're going to blog, talk about the technologies we're dealing with at the time. So in my case, for example, I'm dealing with the EMC products more so than I ever have in the past. So yeah, I've had to try and manage that a little bit on my blog as well, because I don't want to come across as just being so EMC orientated. But it's kind of hard sometimes, because you are dealing with those products on a day-to-day basis, you know, and obviously, you know, enjoying the tech, you know, and enjoying the blogging at the same time. It sort of go hand in hand. So I definitely understand what you're saying there. And it's a tough one to try and balance, because it could be misconceived by some people as to what you're trying to do with the blog.
Yeah, and I think you'll probably agree with me. Doing stuff like this, like the VChat that you guys are doing, or Virtual Mania podcast, you're able to talk to people and what they're passionate about and what they're doing, and that seems to do a good job filling the gap right now, and for me, and hopefully for the readers, you know, of all of our blogs. You know, these things are we're essentially accomplishing what we were accomplishing before. We're just doing it in a different media, and it's definitely exciting and good quality stuff, so hopefully it's coming across that way.
So, Rich, at VMworld, I'm talking about free tools is what I'm actually speaking about, and so, like, I've got Veeam Fast SCP in there, which I learned this week was actually the first product that Veeam ever released, and it was a free product. And then I also learned this week that Veeam's coming out with a new Reporter Free Edition. So do you know anything about that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Veeam was founded on FastSCP. It was released, and I believe there's been over 150,000 downloads of FastSCP to date. It is, in fact, the engine for our backup and replication products still to this day. Every time we update backup and replication, we update FastSCP. So it's always in the top, you know, 10 free tools list. You know, so everybody should check that out. It's if you're familiar with WinSCP, this is a tool that adds some compression and some scheduling to it, and allows you to manage uploads and downloads between your workstation and your ESXO. So everybody check that out. But we released that, and then with some feedback, developed backup and replication, and then of course, Veeam has several other free products. We have the free version of Monitor, which I just saw an email before I got on the chat that Kendrick Coleman just did a chin wag with Mike Laverick, and I believe Kendrick named that Veeam Monitor free version like the number three tool on his free list. So that's definitely something to check out. Of course, that's a limited version compared to our full product, but it's essentially the performance tab of Virtual Center, I like to say, on steroids. And then we combine everything from ESX top statistics to the ability to integrate with the vSphere client and open the console and control processes on the VMs, et cetera, so scheduled reports. So everybody should check that out, especially the free version. We have a free version of our very popular reporter tool coming out, which if you've ever had to make a Visio for your VMware infrastructure, that'll automate that for you and even populate the shape data. So everybody check out Veeam Reporter, as well as our Business View Server. Our Business View Server is a tool that allows you to group your VMs any way that you can imagine, by topology, by application, by function, by users, by VI3 versus vSphere. I've seen it used a whole bunch, and then the free version will show you resource distribution per those groups you created, and then that free version actually plugs into not only the free version of Monitor and Reporter, but obviously the full versions, and allows you to create reports and alerts and monitor based on those groups you create in Business View. So there's a lot of free stuff at Veeam.com. Everybody should go check it out.
Cool.
Definitely. I think FastSCP has to be probably my all-time favorite free user for ESX. Definitely. I mean, the amount of times it's got me out of a scrape just because of the sheer speed it can copy files, you know, between hosts. And, anyone out there who hasn't tried it before, definitely I recommend. Go and download it. Try it out. You definitely won't regret it. Great, great user. And it's free.
Yeah, it can't be free. Free tools are good.
Hey, we like free.
Yeah, so David, actually, you've got in the latest Pro Series of the Train Signal videos, you cover how to use our whole suite of products. So, you know, while we're talking about the Veeam tools, we should talk about the Train Signal videos, and you know, everybody should check those out because it really covers how to use them, how to use Monitor to troubleshoot your VMware environment. You know, what else do you cover in there? You cover backup. You cover do you cover Reporter in there? I believe you do.
Yeah, I cover Reporter, Monitor, Backup, Business View. I've got a promo video on FastSCP. And I'm really excited actually about VMworld because Veeam is going to be handing out 500 copies of that Veeam training at the Veeam booth. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yes. The Veeam booth should be a lot of fun as well. We're going to... Daily, we'll be handing out Train Signal videos as well as, I guess this is the first time we've said this publicly, but the InfoSmack gang and the Virtuomania gang, we're going to, on Wednesday at 1 o'clock, we're going to have everybody there, Rick Vanover, myself, Mark Farley, hopefully David, you'll be there, Greg Nierman, if he makes it. You know, I think Greg's trying to find justification to get to VMworld, so everybody listening to this, tweet Greg or email Greg and tell him he needs to get out there. But everybody who's there, you know, come to the Veeam booth on Wednesday around the end of lunch and meet the InfoSmack gang.
Awesome. And the big Veeam party is Tuesday this year, isn't it, VMworld?
Yes, yep, the Thirsty Bear. Cool. Thirsty Bear does well when VMworld's in town, don't they? They sure do. So, yeah, if you haven't got it, that's an invitation-only event, so... If you don't have an invitation to the Veeam party, hit up your channel rep or your Veeam rep or your Veeam SE and get an invite, because that's definitely one not to miss as well.
Cool. Look forward to it.
The other thing with Veeam, I always like on the stands, you guys have some great giveaways there. I mean, last year it was Jason Boppy's Veeam calendar. That was a fantastic calendar. I mean, that's been sitting on my desk all year, you know, some of like candy tips and everything. So. This year, David's Train Signal video, so another good giveaway. Look forward to it.
Yeah, there's always something to get or something to see at the Veeam booth, that's for sure.
Hey, so Rich, tell us, have you got an iPad or an iPhone?
Yeah, I've got, I had an iPod Touch, but I've switched to the iPad now, and I'm loving it. You guys have iPads?
Oh, definitely. We always end up talking about iPads or iPhones, we've noticed. So we're kind of interested to find out, you know, how the other guys out there are using it, useful applications or utilities that you've come across, or even games, you know.
First one I bought on there is iBeer, or iPeg. You can use it with the iPhone iBeer, and you can pour from one into the other.
That's pretty cool.
Gotta have that.
Completely pointless, but pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I want that to be able to pour into the my mouth. Cool. No, so I got to ask you guys then, if we're talking about iPads, is the iPad a business tool or a media entertainment consumption device?
Now, I keep hearing consumption and not creation on the iPad. You know, I still find it a bit difficult to type because there's no, you know, feedback on the keyboard and that. So for me, I mainly use it for, you know, just kind of, you know, doing a lot of surfing, kind of catching up on things, stuff like that. I've been wanting to try some of the more productivity applications to see if I can, you know, get a bit more business use out of it. I haven't tried that at Word Processor they have for it yet, but I just, with the iPhone, it was the same thing, that the keyboard was just so hard to type on the iPhone. I know this one is bigger. But for me, it's more pleasure and more social than any type of business thing. But I know there's more apps coming out, and I'd love to see that change at some point when you know, some of the killer apps come to the iPad that are, you know, are usable and valuable for a business environment.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Simon, I know EMC has been publicly using the iPad to do presentations and stuff. Do you have one? Are you using it with work?
Yeah, I mean, I bought my own one when I was across at the EMC world, just because it was cheaper in the US. And I haven't been using it for business yet. I'd very much like to from our email. But over in the UK, we get issued with BlackBerrys as opposed to iPhones. So I need to change my back-end sync account from a BlackBerry sync across to an iPhone, which I haven't done yet. I hope to in time, in which case I'll start picking up my work emails on there. I have downloaded Keynote, and I have loaded up all my different presentations. But I'll be honest with you, I've been a little bit embarrassed to bring it out in a meeting to actually start using it, because it's, I don't know, I still think it's got that poser sort of qualities that potentially, you know, in the eyes of some people, you know, if you bring out a little iPad, put it on the desk and start doing your presentation. So I've been a little bit apprehensive to use it for that. But my PowerPoint slide decks work fine on there. So, you know, but maybe in time, if I see a few other people start doing it, I'll probably start using it. I know the other vSpecialists over in the US, they're quite heavy users of it, and they use it for their emails and all sorts of things. One thing I found very good for is actually for viewing PDFs on technical PDFs, reference architectures, things like that. Something I was doing with my Kindle DX before. The screen's pretty good on the DX, but I actually find the iPad screen, you know, much, much better for diagrams and schematics, and for example. But the other thing is very good clients, the Wise client for conferences. Conference calls, I use that a lot as well. So, out of everything, that is probably all I use for business application.
I actually installed Dropbox on mine, and I found it's real handy for, you know, all the files that are in my Dropbox account. I can just, you know, download them to the iPad by making them a favorite and that. And so it's great for that, where, you know, I kind of have the cloud access to pull any of my documents down. For VMworld, I bet it's going to be great because they publish a lot of the maps, all those documents, where you can just put them on your iPad. And the PDF reader, I got the Goodreader, which is one of the better PDF readers. It works real well. It's pretty quick and allows you to do a lot of different, you know, scaling and stuff like that. So, I think it's for VMworld, it'll probably be pretty handy to keep up on, you know, tweets, email, all the documentation, all that stuff like that. So it's definitely a pretty handy device.
I think it's probably going to end up being the weapon of choice at VMworld this year. We're going to see a lot of geeks, sort of, including myself. I'll put myself in that category, walking around with iPads, just because they're, you know, they're nice and light as well. But what about yourself, Rich? How much do you use your iPad? Do you use it for work or pleasure? And what about within Veeam? Many guys within Veeam using the iPad?
I haven't seen many guys at Veeam using the iPad yet. I am definitely. I bought it kind of to test it to see if I could use it for work. I would still say that I lean towards it being an entertainment device. I definitely have I have Kindle for the iPad. I have Goodreader as well. But I'm slowly starting to find more and more use for it. Goodreader is great, not just for reading the PDFs, but you can connect Goodreader to your Dropbox. You can connect Goodreader to Google Docs. You can turn on I got the Wi-Fi version. I bought my HTC Evo because it's a hotspot, and I bought iPad at the same time, you know, with the two in mind so that I could have, you know, internet access anywhere. But you can create, you can turn the Goodreader in as an IP address or basically as a WebDAV directory on your Wi-Fi network, and you can transfer files between. So I've been doing, I don't have Keynote yet, but it's good to hear that it sounds like Keynote's worth the $10 to buy it. There's definite some usability of PowerPoint presentations from Goodreader as well. Some of the background stuff and of course animations don't come out well, so sometimes you have to modify your PowerPoint presentation. But I've yet to pull it out and do a demo in front of a customer. But I tell you, the last two VMware Express events I went to this week, I didn't walk in. I left my notebook in the car, and I just walked in with the iPad ready to do it for business consumption as opposed to entertainment consumption. But I use it like crazy for entertainment. I've got several games. I take advantage of Netflix. I rent videos and take them with me on the plane. And it amazes me. I'm sure you guys are the same way. The iPad continues to be, if you want to meet strangers, buy an iPad and take it out in public, because I don't care if you're in line at the TSA security point if you're at a restaurant and you're reading email, everybody from the waitress to the security people to the guy sitting next to you on the plane, they're going to ask you, what is that? You know, ask you how to do something with it. Is it, can it replace a PC? I mean, you want to meet people, forget a puppy or a little baby, get an iPad, and you're going to meet all kinds of people.
So what's your favorite game on the iPad?
My favorite game this week is, I downloaded, I play a lot with the boys, right? So we've got Batman Lego, and I've got Iron Man 2. I've got, you know, actually what Dad's been doing the most after the kids go to sleep, there's a free app by Adobe called Adobe Ideas. And it's, I recently bought a stylus for the iPad too, thinking that would help, with note taking and stuff. But Adobe Ideas is kind of like it could be a whiteboard or a drawing app, but what you can also do is you can take a photograph and add it as a base layer. So today is the opening day for the preseason for the Atlanta Falcons, going to the game tonight. So last night I got a picture of Matt Ryan, the quarterback for the Falcons, and I basically drew on top of that and then, you know, dropped the picture out and then colored it in. And, you know, my boys are all proud of Dad because I could draw Matt Ryan, but they don't
oh, really cool.
know the real deal. But yeah, and I'll get my one other dish-related app to check out is, and I believe it's like $5, is an app called Audio Note. Anybody use Audio Note here on the call?
No, I'm saying the Dragon Dictation.
I got Dragon Dictation,
I got voice
too.
Memos, which is kind of is basically just a recording app for audio then?
Yeah, so it's a recording app for audio that lets you take notes, whether you want to type them or whether you want to draw. But what's really cool about it is it syncs with the audio. So if you record a session, say at VMworld, and it's 45 minutes long, and you, in the middle of it, they're talking about, IODRS or something, and you make a note about IODRS, when you click on that note, it goes right to that point in the recording so that you can listen to the recording from that point. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. And, you know, it lets you you can diagram that whiteboard, your ESX architecture right there on it and stuff too. So, yeah, it's very cool. Check it out.
That's very similar to the LightScribe pens I've seen out there. But you've got to have the special paper that you can actually write, and whilst you write, it's actually recording the audio as to what's happening in the room. Then you can go back later, actually point the pen on a particular word within your written notes, and it actually starts playing back the audio from that point in time. So it sounds very similar to that. Cool. And I've used that before, and that's very good, very very useful indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that app called?
Audio Note. Audio Note.
Okay.
Okay. There's a free version. The free version, if you check it out, the light version lets you record up to 10 minutes of audio. So you can kind of wade into the shallow end.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
David, you don't have one.
No, I've got an iPad. And unfortunately, the number one played app on my iPad is Monkey Play School Lunchbox by my year and a half old son. And he uses the iPad more than I do. But I'm trying to use it more for... I've imported a lot of PDFs into iBooks, and it makes a really nice, book reader. I was playing, there's a game on there called Modern Conflict, which is pretty cool. I'm just amazed at the speed and just how fast it is. I just hope that at VMworld this year that they have, some good Wi-Fi, and I can actually use the iPad, so.
Well, if they got 4G, find me, and I'll give you the password to my HTC Evo.
Okay, there you go.
That's one thing I've been a bit disappointed in is the lack of e-books. You know, there's so many books in the world, and the lack of the ones that actually make it as e-books seems to be not very good. And that I've looked at a lot of the books that are kind of my favorites now, a lot of maybe science fiction, fantasy type books, and I've looked through the Apple Store, the Kindle, Barnes & Nobles, and just very, very limited selection of those books and that. So I was kind of disappointed in that because I really wanted to use this as a try it out as an e-book reader. And I just really couldn't find a lot of the books I wanted, though, in the stores.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, and I'll even extend that to magazines. I'll tell you what's been frustrating to me is that the magazines that I subscribe to in print, Men's Health, Sports Illustrated, and even some of the technical ones, eWeek, you can get an electronic version of it. Information Week, you can get an electronic version of it. I'm not sure Virtualization Review if you can get electronically or not. But even those guys, it's not... straightforward how to get them and how to get them onto the iPad. And what's really frustrating is about the Sports Illustrateds and the Men's Health, you can have the print subscription, but they're not going to let you get the digital subscription for free, and they want to charge as much, they want to charge $7, $8 an issue. And, come on, people. If you're listening, give me your magazine digitally for a dollar, and you're going to make $1 million, real fast. So.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Well, this is some awesome stuff, Rich. I really appreciate you being on. Simon, Eric, you guys have any more questions for Rich?
Hey, when are you going to finish that basement?
Hey, buy some more Veeam software. Help me finish this basement.
Yeah, get you some drywall there.
That's right.
I think next time we see it, it'll probably be turned into a small recording studio, I reckon, for your podcast, I'm guessing.
I'll paint the walls.
Data center.
I'll paint the walls ugly green. You guys help me do it. Yep.
I look forward to seeing it.
Well, thanks for being on, Rich. This has been a real honor. I'm a longtime fan of, you know, VMETC and Virtumania, so, you know, it's great having you on the VChat this week. Simon, Eric, thanks for participating. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot,
thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. See you at VMworld.
See you at VMworld.
See you there. Bye. Cheers.